So let's get our Bibles out. And we are going to continue in our discipleship training. At least that's my goal. And we've been talking about the power of God. We've been talking about that. And we've been talking about what is the power of God. We've been talking about where do you get the power of God. And today we're going to talk about accessing the power of God whenever you want to access it. And before I get into the passage of Scripture I'm going to read for you, I want you to think, you know, as we're going to read the Scripture and as our teaching today on discipleship training, I want you to think about a story that you know so well. Whether you know Scripture passages verbatim or not, you would certainly be able to tell me the story of David and Goliath. Who could tell me the story of David and Goliath? You might not get it word for word for word for word, but you certainly could tell me the story of David and Goliath. Who could tell me the story of David and Goliath? But if I brought you right up now, and I won't embarrass you by having you do that, Sarah. I don't know why your name just came to the forefront of my mind, but I'm not going to do it. I might call upon Ryan, but I wouldn't call upon you. And you could tell me, right? And I want you to think about the story of David and Goliath. I want you to think back. Maybe you only remember from your childhood days, from your Sunday school lessons or so. But I want you to think about the story of David and Goliath. And I want you to draw back from the story of David and Goliath. And I want you to try to envision what was going on. You had the whole Philistine army, right? And they were on one side of the battlefield. And you have the Israelite army where? On the other side. And day and night and night and day and day and night and night and day, the Philistines are taunting the Israelites. And they have one great warrior. And what's his name? And he's like 9 foot tall. He could probably play in the NBA, something like that, right? A giant, 9 foot something, big guy. And he goes out night and day, day and night, night and day, day and night into the middle of the battlefield. And what's he kind of saying? He's taunting them. Come on out here. Send your best boy out. Come on out here. You know, he's taunting them. He's taunting them. He's taunting them. Day in, day out, day in, day out. That's warfare, right? I mean, don't they do that kind of stuff today? They do that kind of stuff today, right? And they're taunting him, taunting him, taunting him. And nobody's going to go out there and fight this giant. They're just not going to do it. Well, you all know the story. Who goes out and fights him? David. Now, it's important that you understand, you see, everybody in the Israelite army are looking at a what? At a giant. Right? They're looking at this giant, and they're sizing the giant up compared to who? Themselves. And they're looking at the giant. Everybody in the Israelite army is looking at the giant. And then David's looking at God. And there's the difference. That's the difference. The giant was no smaller compared to David. Back then, David was bigger. Because David was obviously what? Smaller. But David didn't look out there and see a giant. David looked out there and saw who? God. That's the difference. And disciples do not see their problems in relation to themselves. Disciples see their problems in relation to who? That's the difference. That's the difference. People who go to church and sit in pews who are not disciples, they still got problems. But they see their problems in relation to what? Themselves. I can't go to church today. I got too many problems. I can't go to church. So you don't understand. You just don't understand. Well, you're looking at your problem in relation to who? You. If you did look at your relationship according to God, you would get to church and give God your problems, right? And so we're going to look today at accessing our power like David did. That's the setup. And our discipleship training today, we're going to look at assessing, you know, getting God's power and putting it to work the same way David did. So I need you to turn to Ephesians. And we're going to be reading Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read, first of all, verses 10 to 13.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
You see, this Goliath, he's out there in the middle of the field, and he's taunting. And you know what? You have Goliaths too. And they've been taunting you. Day in, day out, day in, day out. This Goliath in your life has been taunting you too. You go to bed at night, the Goliath is calling out your name. You get up in the morning, Goliath is calling out your name. How many understand what I'm telling you? You got him. You got him. Calling you out. Day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. This Goliath in your life is just tormenting you beyond what you can bear. Isn't that true? We all have one. It could be the Goliath of depression. It could be the Goliath of financial worries. It could be the Goliath of relationships. It could be the Goliath of ill health. It could be the Goliath of all kinds of stuff. But you got him, and he's been taunting you day in, day out, day in, day out. How many understand that? And you get no rest. He's not going to go away. There's only one way to take care of a giant. Does anybody know what that way is? Take care of the giant. How many know the best way to get rid of bullies? Well, how many boys know this anyhow? And the best way to get, you know, you can't just plead with the bullies. You can't plead with them. We can't do what our mamas told us to do. Go make friends with them. That doesn't work. Just be nice to them. They'll be nice back. How many guys say, that doesn't work. He's still going to take your lunch. He may say, thank you, maybe. He's still taking it. The only way to take on a giant is to take on a giant. That's the only way to do it. Sean and my daughter's about going, yeah, but I raised my kid. And yeah, an alley apple. Sometimes you have to take on the giant head on. And David knows that. David knows that. And King Saul wants to put his armor on David. Because King Saul only knows one way to fight the giant. And that's with armor made of steel. That's all he knows. He says, well, Saul, if you're going to go out there, if Saul's going to go out there, put the armor on the boy. The armor doesn't fit. It's the wrong armor. It's not going to fit. And what we need to do to go into battle is we need to put on the armor of God. And that's what David did. David said, you know what? I don't need Saul's armor. I need God's armor. And this is where the difference is. I know I often say this. It's probably worth repeating again. Some of us put on Dr. Phil's armor. Oh, you know, we love to watch Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil ain't got armor to fight Goliath. He doesn't. Montel doesn't. Oprah doesn't. All the self-help. Joel Osteen doesn't. The only armor that's going to work is God's armor. How many understand that? And you got to suit yourself up with all of it. You can't miss any pieces of it. You got to put it all on. Now let's look at the first piece that David puts on. David puts on the God's armor, and you're going to read this, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14.
Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
The truth. The truth. Now see, David was confronted with a 9-foot something tall warrior. And everybody was telling him, don't go out there, David, because you go out there, you are surely going to die. Going to die. And all of the Philistines were saying, oh, this is going to be fun. Let's watch this. This ought to be good. This should be a good show to have a kid go out there and fight this giant. But see, David didn't listen to all of them. He listened to the truth. The truth. And what is the truth? That all of David's ancestors, all the way down from Moses and Isaac and Jacob and Abraham, they've been conquering folks for a long time with the help of the Lord. And David knew that. David knew that he had a call upon the armies. In fact, if you looked up that scripture, and I don't want you to do that right now, in Sam, it says that David called on the armies of the Lord. The army. What about army? He didn't call upon army. He called upon what? Armies. armies. Armies? But plural. There's one Israelite army. But he said, the armies of God. Maybe armies of angels. Maybe armies of those who've gone on before. And David knew the truth. And the truth was this, not by his might, but by God's might. See, everybody was looking at a giant, and David's looking at the Lord. So, let me ask you something. I mean, how small does your giant get the more you stare at it? I'm serious. I mean, if you concentrate on your Goliath in your life, you stare at your Goliath all day long, how much smaller does it get? It gets what?
Bigger.
It gets bigger. Well, ain't that something? See, the more you stare at your Goliath, guess what? The bigger it gets. Isn't that true? You know why? Not so much the bigger it gets, but the smaller you get. Because you start to cower. Don't you? Oh my gosh, look how big this is. Oh my gosh, I can't believe how big this is. I just can't believe how... It's also because you're getting smaller. How many understand that? And David wasn't looking at the stature of the man. He was looking at the stature of the Lord. And that's the difference between disciples and non-disciples. We still got problems. How many got problems in this room? We all got problems. The difference is our God is bigger than the problem. It's not that we are bigger than the problem. It's that He is bigger than the problem. And the truth of the matter is, and you got to concentrate on the truth, what is the truth? I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened me. That's the truth. That's the truth. And disciples understand it. And so when you go into battle, calling upon the power of the Most High God, put on the truth. What is the truth? How many of you ever conquered a Goliath in your life, even one? Well, if you did it once, could you not do it twice? Couldn't you? Has anybody in this room ever conquered a Goliath that you never thought you could? Has anybody in this room even one time conquered a giant and you thought surely you were going to die? How many are better for doing it? Yeah. True. And so you put on the full armor of God and you're going to put on the truth. Put on the truth. And the truth is God is bigger than your problems. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians. Chapter 6, verse 15.
And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
We have the truth that sets us free. And that's the gospels. What is the ultimate reality of our existence? What's the ultimate reality? What happens to us when we die? We go to heaven. True. That's it. And you know what? We're all adults in this room. Let me tell you the bad news. I happen to know absolutely on good account that you are all in the process of dying. Oh. Turn to somebody and say, I got bad news for you. You're dying. Go ahead. Turn to somebody and say, you're dying. Yeah, you are. Yeah, no, you are. No, you are. You are. Did I upset you, Mickey? No, you are. How many knows you? I mean, you really are. You are in the process of dying. I mean, I can absolutely tell you that with conviction in my heart, Sue. Right? You're dying. Now, here's what's really gonna get you going, and it might be tomorrow, Mike. And it's true, Glenn. It's true. How many of you know you could be in the wrong show at the wrong time, watching Batman? At the wrong time. Is that true? Jimmy, is that true? You could be on the wrong plane at the wrong time. Is that true? You could be in the wrong tour bus at the wrong time. Leonard?
The taxi
in Las Vegas at the wrong time?
People were in that taxi.
Sure. Could you not be in the wrong place at the wrong time? How many want to go on a cruise again?
I do.
Yeah? You know, you could be out there for a couple of days, you know, with, you know, throwing stuff off the edge of the boat, too. I don't know. But the reality of it is, You could be in the wrong intersection at the wrong time, passing the wrong car at the wrong time, in the wrong show at the wrong time, on the wrong plane at the wrong time, in the wrong mall at the wrong time. Couldn't you? And that's not even getting into the ticker. I mean, wrong scroll at the wrong time. That's the truth. Right? And so the ultimate reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ is, well, what happens to us if that happens to us? You go home. Who here longs to go home? See? Now everybody says, oh, yes. But if I told you that was tomorrow, you might say, no, wait a second. I got stuff to do tomorrow. But the reality of it is, if you get sick as a dog, there's only two possibilities. You need a vet, I know. If you get sick as a dog, there's only two possibilities. You will get well or you will not. If you don't get well, you will go home. Happy Hallelujah Day. If you get well, happy Hallelujah. Either way, it's a win-win, right? And so when you're facing your Goliath, David was saying to himself, hey, I can't lose. There's no, I can't possibly lose. I win no matter what. So at least I'm going to try. Right? At least I'm going to try. And so when you call upon the power of the Lord as a disciple, you need to understand, first of all, you need to get some truth in your life, and you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness, and then you got to start acting like a born-again, Bible-thumping, card-carrying, scripture-toting, Bible-toting, born-again Jesus freak, right? And that's what you got to do. You got to make sure that you act like who you are. Yes? Unless, of course, you don't what? Want to. Well, the Goliath will beat you up all day long. How many know bullies won't run from me when you're afraid? Well, Ed, you cower to a bully, that makes the bully more what? Strong. Like Glenn, the more you cower, the more he comes after you. Turn in your Bibles, please. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16.
Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Got to take your faith with you. Man, you got to take some faith with you. And when you call upon the power of the Most High God, when you learn to do that as a disciple, you got to put on some truth. You got to get some righteousness. Right? You got to have the gospel. And what else better you have? You better have some faith. You see, this is what's important. A lot of us have sometimes faith, sometimes not. See, what your faith is proportionate to is the size of your giant. That's what your faith is proportionate to, the size of your giant. Now, if I said, hey, we're going to go on down the road here, you know, we're going to go to Wendy's or something, and it's snowing out a little bit, you'll say, oh, man, we can do that, no problem, we'll make it. You know, Pastor Tom and Sissy, they got one of those Toyota Sequoia things, four-wheel drive, we'll make it, no problem. My faith is really strong. But what about the giants in your life? Do you have faith in that too? You see, we know that David had faith. We know it. Because they were coming at him with all kinds of stuff. And the Philistine army had all kinds of stuff. But the most important thing they had was this 9-foot giant. And David stopped, nailed down in the mud of a creek. Right? And he's going through the stones. He's trying to find himself what? Well, not just stones. He's looking specifically for something. Because he's used to doing this. He's not looking for just rocks. He's looking for what? Smooth pebbles that will fit real nice. What? In his sling. So he's not just getting any kind of rocks. Oh, no. He's searching for... Ah, there's one. Ah, there's one. He picks up five of these smooth pebbles. The ones he's used against what? Bears, lions. He knows what he's doing. He's done this before. But how many of you killed a giant in your life before too? We've all done it. So he picks these up. Of course, he's got four too many, right? He puts them in his patch. And he goes out there, and here comes the giant. Now, David doesn't walk out. He runs out. That's not timidness, is it, Pastor Colin? He says, come on, let's go. You're going down. He doesn't go. No, no, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. No, what's he doing? This is it. This is it. By the armies of the living God, I will be delivered. You are going to lose your head. This day I will kill you and cut your head off. He says something. What kind of faith is that? And he doesn't walk out there. He's not sneaking out there. What's he do? He runs out there and faces them. See, that's disciples. Disciples don't cower from their problems. They defeat them. They don't cower. They defeat them. That's what they do. Interesting thing about Goliath. Now I want you to know that Goliath had on a helmet. And the thing about helmets back then was they sat down around the forehead and they had a nose piece that came down, protected the bridge of your nose. Did you know that? That's what they did. So where did Goliath smack him with that rock? Right? So I want you to picture this. You got to picture this because Goliath has his helmet on. He's got his full armor on, right? He has a helmet on. He has a thing coming out like that. And it says that the giant was laughing at him. Man says, ha, ha, ha. But the minute he went, ha, ha, the helmet went, pfft. Let me run that by you again. I want you to get the picture of this, right? He got a helmet on. And Goliath is talking, what's this? They send the dog out. And the minute he went, ha, ha, the helmet went, psh, boom. Lucky shot? Now I need you to grasp a hold of this. One of my dear friends, Elder Mark, he's an archer. How lucky shot is that? Now, because you're an archer. He doesn't have a peep sight. No peep sight. No 70-pound bow with a straight arrow and a peep sight checking the windage. He's not like aiming, like, right? Mark, how good a shot is that with a sling and a pebble? Almost godly, huh? Glenn, you're a hunter. How good a shot is that with a sling? You know, everybody's laughing. They're hearing all stuff. And all David's hearing is, whoosh, 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 ha, 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 boom! What? Lucky shot? Or how about God directed that? Well, see, why can't God direct things that you're giants to? Why? How about the more they taunt is when the time they're going to get it? When your giant rolls back his head and says, you ain't never... Boom! Do you have that kind of faith that God is going to drive you home? Do you have that kind of faith that God is going to direct everything you throw at the giant? I don't know. Turn to your Bibles, please. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
You have a mighty weapon that we're supposed to be using. That's it. The Word of God. When have you used that against the giants in your life? Now I know, I'm pretty sure we have all used God's Word to reach others with the saving message of Jesus Christ. I would be willing to bet we've done that. I would be willing to bet that most of us, if not all of us, have used God's word for salvation, to reach others, to help people in times of crisis, to pray for people in their hurting. I bet we have. But the question that I have for each of you is, have you used it against your giants? Have you used it as a weapon against your giant? Have you done that? Have you pulled it out and said, then let's go to battle, and here's my weapon, and you are going down because I have the word of God? Well, have you done that? Disciples know to do that. Not just for passivity, but to fight. If you have to fight, start fighting with the word of God. How many understand that? What do demons got to do with the word of God? Got to go. They got to go. Is that true? Quote Jesus, they got to go. And so what has to happen is you got to start quoting scripture to yourself because you're the one that needs to hear it. Right? Financial, how many are really good at anxiety? Who has anxiety in this room? Anxiety. Anybody? Just two people. That's pretty cool. The rest of you are too anxious to raise your hand. That's really cool. Who has anxiety? Everybody has some anxiety. We all got anxiety. And so the question is, what are you anxious about? Well, there's only a couple of things you need to be anxious about. You know, paying your mortgage. Well, Jesus said, why are you worried about where you're going to live? Well, I need to be worried about what I'm going to eat. Mm-mm. Nope. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Well, what am I going to wear? And I'm telling you all right now, I'm thanking God you got something to wear. I can tell you that right now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. Oh, you've been hanging around with Glenn, huh? Yeah, Glenn and Mary, two peas of the same pod, huh? I hear a message coming next week. You two shit together. And the reality of it is, we don't need to be anxious about anything. Now, that's the kind of scripture you need to be quoting when you're in your anxiety. Shar and I was talking the other day, because I was talking about medication, about, you know, we really don't always need medication. Well, I take medication. Who else takes medication? I take medication. I'm not saying we shouldn't take it. What I'm saying is you should not do that by itself. What else should you do? Fight back. Quote some scripture. When you're in your anxiety mode, get the word out and say, hey, what am I anxious about? What am I anxious about? Well, Jesus, if it's by my mind, I got a lot. How many know if you were in charge, there'd be a lot of reasons to be anxious? If you were driving the bus, well, turn to somebody and say, I'm glad you're not driving the bus. Go ahead, tell somebody. Who's your co-pilot? Who's your co-pilot? Right? When you look at your anxiety from your vantage point, how many know you got a lot to be anxious about? Because the Goliath of anxiety has been taunting you day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day. How many know that's true? When you go to bed, he's there. You get up, he's there to say good morning to you. You go to bed, hey, happy trails. I'll see you in the morning, right? It's the way it works. And what you got to do is pull out the word of God and say, what am I anxious about? What am I anxious? Is he not God? Can he not do what he says he is going to do? Yes or no? Well, if you have on the belt of truth, what must the answer be? Yes. Who's watching over you when you go to bed at night? So you kind of think, you think that through, huh? No, but I'm a big boy now. My legs. Is God watching over you or not? Right? Matthew 6. Don't turn to it. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 33. That's what it says. Who by worrying can add one cubit to your span of life? Who? How many of you know you all have a day? How many know you all have an appointment? Will you be late? I won't even be late. That's one for me. I'll be on time. Keep score. One, two, three. This is getting good. The reality of it is we all have a day and you're not changing it. Amen. You're not changing it. Are you? You can go to all of the Joel Osteen things you want to go to. You're not changing it. I know people that are in the pit of health and they have dropped dead as a doorknob. Nobody expected it. Is that a true statement? I know NBA basketball players who probably have at-rest heart rates of like 10 or something. They're in such unbelievable health, and they run down a basketball court, and what happens? Should you worry about that now that I told you that? Oh, my God. True? It's true? And I know people that's walked out of a hospice, too. Sue? Right? I know people that were in a hospice, and they go, we're discharging them. Why? They're better. True? It's true. You know what I've learned to do recently? I've learned to do this recently. How many of y'all get that flutters in your heart? Get the flutters? Now, honestly, now how many of you go like this? I don't do that anymore. I go, whatever, whatever. It's going to be there or it's not, whatever. I mean, guess what? Life's a lot easier when you do that. And so, calling upon the power of the Lord, calling upon the power of the Most High God, it's accessible to you. For what? You know, one of the reasons is to fight some giants in your life. Fight some giants. And I told you this once before, and I'm going to tell it to you real quickly again for those who haven't heard it. There was a man who was praying for the Lord one day to send him an angel to fight some battles for him. And the guy went to bed and woke up in the middle of the night, and there standing at the foot of his bed was an unbelievable, humongous, angel. And the guy wiped the sleep from his eyes, and he looked, and oh my gosh, there at the foot of his bed is Michael the archangel and none other. And the guy wiped the sleep, and oh, you're... And he said, Michael, you prayed for the Lord to send you an angel to help you fight. He sent me. What is your plan? What's your plan? And that man said, oh, I don't know. Let me think about this. And the angel's getting a little impatient. You got a plan, don't you? You got a plan. You said to fight. You got a plan, right? And the man said, okay. Michael, did you bring your angel's sword? And Michael thought, oh, now we're getting someplace. We pulled out this massive sword. There's no way a man could ever lift it. It is huge. And Michael said, I brought my sword. What's the plan? You got a plan, don't you? Right, wait a second. Michael looked at that guy, put the sword back in. You got a plan, don't you? You want to fight. And the man said, did you bring your angel's trumpet? And Michael's getting a little impatient. Pulled out this massive gold, ruby, oh, unbelievable trumpet. I got my trumpet, but do you have a plan? Man said, yes, here's the plan. Like, okay, what's the plan? When it's time to go into battle, Michael, play charge. Play charge. And when it's time to retreat, play retreat. An angel looked at that man with only eyes of an angel could look. He put that trumpet back underneath his wing, and his wings started drooping. And Michael said to that man, that's your plan? That's it? Man said, yeah, don't you like it, Michael? Michael said, I can't do that plan. I can't do that plan. And the man said, why, Michael? And Michael said, because I do not know how to play retreat. I only know how to play fight. There is no backing up in God's army. We do not back up. We do not shut up. If we have to go forward on our knees, we go forward. We do not give up ground we've already taken. We do not surrender. What do? We fight. That's what we do with the power of the Most High God. And disciples learn that. There is no Goliath bigger than my God. Somebody say amen to that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. So much, Lord, for the hearing of these words. Lord, may they not be quickly forgotten. And may you write them on our hearts. And all of God's people said, amen. Go from this place. Don't leave the armor of God here and wait till next Sunday. Take it where? That's where the battleground is out there, right? Take it with you. Go beat up on some giants in your own life like David did. Be disciples. Start to call upon the power of a living God. And who knows? Maybe you will be as good of a shot as Goliath was or wasn't. Goliath lost his head that day, didn't he? All right, go from this place. Service is over. And all of God's people said amen.